Hello and welcome to The Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshaun, and with me in studio today is England football analyst, Sipho Sihle Sony.
Greetings, Deshaun, and thank you for having me. Looking forward to this weekend's round of fixtures. Yeah, let's get into it.
Sony, the leading reason as to why we brought you into studio today is to unpack Chelsea versus Man United. Now, of course, it is the most high-profile fixture of the weekend, especially when you consider that Erik ten Hag has been sacked by Manchester United.
I was really looking forward to that fixture, you know, with ten Hag being there. It would have been good for him, you know, to turn things around by defeating Chelsea, which looks to be revived under Enzo Maresca. But hey, it is what it is. You know, you reap what you sow.
Well, you know, immediately after that fixture, Man United went and put five past Leicester in the EFL Cup.
That is so like Man United. I mean, even in the past, we've seen it. It's like when there is an interim coach there, they perform, you know, they perform.
Turn into prime Barcelona. Yeah.
Yes. So I was shocked by that because I thought they were, you know, going to experience difficulties given the team that Leicester is, you know, because Leicester are not walkovers. So hopefully they're going to continue with that spirit. They needed that win, you know, to boost confidence ahead of the Chelsea game because we all know that it will not be an easy game. I mean, Chelsea have not been an easy team to beat this season. So, yeah. And also, they're coming off a defeat because at that EFL Cup, you know.
Yeah, I think it was Newcastle.
Yes, they lost 2-1, 2-0 to Newcastle. So, I'm sure they'll be aiming to avoid, you know, another loss.
Yeah. Well, of course, Enzo Maresca's tenure with the Blues could barely have gotten off to a better start. I think he's won multiple Premier League Manager of the Month awards. And, you know, we're just like into the fourth month.
Yeah, well-deserved awards, you know, given the performances of Chelsea in the past season, or let's just say before his arrival. I think right now they're currently in the top five, if I'm not mistaken. And we haven't seen that for a long time. As you know, last season, I think they finished 8th or 7th. But
they were spending majority of the time in the bottom half.
Yes, trying to get into the top half. I think this is good for the coach. It's good for the club. I mean, after spending so much, returns are needed. And it seems like, you know, Todd Boehly is starting to make a return on his investments. Hopefully, anytime soon we'll see a cup, you know.
Yeah, well, the goals are flying thick and fast for Chelsea. In the Premier League, away from home, they actually are the top scorers with 11 goals across their four league outings, on their travels, that is. Three wins from their four fixtures.
You know, in terms of goals, they've been great. I mean, we were very, you know, critical of Nicholas Jackson, especially last season, because he was misfiring, you know, and not really performing well. I really thought Chelsea would be serious. You know, there were once rumors that they're trying to get Victor Osimhen. You know, everybody, you know, was hyped up that now we're going to get a proper striker, but that actually ended up not happening. And with that not happening, it became a blessing in disguise for Jackson, because he got a chance to, you know, to redeem himself and prove that he belongs there. And I think he's been doing that, and we should expect more from him. And then there's also other players, you know, like Nkunku, like Palmer, who have been, you know, also firing from all cylinders, you know, scoring those important goals. So I'm happy for Chelsea, and hopefully they continue with this. I mean, not so long ago, they were playing Liverpool, which merely survived them, you know. It was a really highly contested game. And I thought maybe it will end in a draw or something, but Liverpool ended up taking the points. But I'm not taking anything away from Chelsea's performance, you know. They were really great.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely a fired-up performance from both those outfits. The score did finish 2-1 in favour of Liverpool, but in my opinion, I think it was a very even Stevens game. Some might even say Chelsea with a better team on paper.
Yeah, we can go as far as that. And to add to that, they were away. You know, it's not easy, you know, to come out with a victory at Anfield, because everything is against you. The fans there that packed the stadium are Liverpool fans, you know, and Liverpool also, they perform in an unusual way when they're there. It's like they turn into something else. So, yeah, credit to Chelsea, and I hope they're going to, you know, bring that same energy, that same level of performance in this upcoming game. Because they must not take Manchester United lightly because of what's been happening. And also, the interim coach, he was a good player. I think he's a good coach. I'm sure they also respect him there because he's more of like a club legend also. So I think they're going to bring it to Chelsea. So Chelsea must not sleep or think that it's going to be an easy victory for them because, you know, of the situation. So, yeah.
Well, you know, you mentioned the interim manager, and Ruud van Nistelrooy has got a very different image of the Theatre of Dreams. I mean, when back in his playing days, you knew the goals were coming in hot and quick for Man United. The Red Devils were a different animal. And keeping with your comment with Liverpool at Anfield, you know, to go to Manchester United and play at the Theatre of Dreams and maybe just to score as an opposition player, it meant something, you know?
Yeah. back in his playing days, they were really the Red Devils. Now, they're leaning towards, you know, being the Red Angels or something. a lot has changed, but hopefully they will bring those Red Devil days back, you know. I would love to see players, you know, like Marcus Rashford, Fernandes performing in the level of, you know, Rooney and Van Nistelrooy in his days. So, you know, when teams are competitive, let me say, when big teams are being competitive and it's not only like one team that's dominating, the league becomes exciting. Everything becomes exciting. We don't really, as football fans, we don't really like, you know, this so-called farmers league, where just one team is dominating. Yes. So, I can't wait really for Man U to be revived, you know, and perform at the level that they used to. So hopefully Van Nistelrooy is going, you know, to hold the fort well before, you know, they get the new coach.
Yeah. Just now you mentioned two key players for Man United. Of course, I'm talking about Marcus Rashford and Bruno Fernandes. Now, infamously, seasons ago, Jose Mourinho was the one who mentioned investments from the past at Man City, you know, and now you look at the investments from the past for Ten Hag, that is Bruno Fernandes, that is Marcus Rashford. Has he gotten the best out of those players in the, I want to say, 2.5 or rather 2 and a bit seasons that he was there at the club?
No, I think both of them have got a lot to offer. I think they just need to be pushed, you know, a little bit and be guided in the right direction. I mean, Bruno has been, you know, better, has been doing good. Even when he's representing his country there in Portugal, he has been, you know, doing good. As for Rashford, I think there's still more that, you know,
he we should can expect do. From him.
Yes,
yeah, of course.
There's still more that he can do. Hopefully, because we've heard, you know, a lot about you know, Ten Hag, and maybe the next coach, you know, he'll be able, you know, to guide them. And also, if they keep Van Nistelrooy, because as a man who has done it in the field, he has a proven record.
One of the most prolific strikers ever worn the club's jersey.
Yes, so I think he can also, you know, share his knowledge, his wisdom with them and, you know, make them lethal strikers, you know. It's possible. So, yeah.
All right, well, you know, in keeping with the squad, I started by saying investments from the past, but the truth is the club have backed Erik ten Hag in the transfer window. I think it's only Chelsea who have spent more than Man United have since ten Hag's arrival at the club. His £616 million has amounted to What?
FA Cup. I forgot the other cup that he won.
I think it's a Community Shield. Or
Yes,
is it Carabao? It's
yes,
Carabao,
yes.
sorry. I think it's Carabao and the
Yeah,
FA Cup.
between those two. When Erik ten Hag joined United, you know, he was a formidable coach. Everybody thought, you know, he deserved to be there due to the work that he did, you know, in his previous club. Though I think, yeah, he didn't have, you know, much Premier League experience, and we know how different Premier League is from, you know, other leagues. It's the highest. So I think the club did well by, you know, giving him a blank checkbook, you know, to get players. And the players that he got are players that were doing well where they were. I think there wasn't much criticism, you know, with regards to the players that he bought. And as a coach, it's normal for a coach, you know, to want to bring closer to him the people that he has, you know, worked with them before, rather than, you know, a bunch of strangers. So he did that, you know, with players such as Anthony and other, you know, players. So it's such a shame that, you know, it didn't work out. But
Let me take it one further.
Okay.
You mentioned Anthony, but the truth is, Lisandro Martinez also came in. Andre Onana also came in. You know, there was the likes of, I think, Matthias de Ligt, who was signed from Bayern Munich. But of course, he linked up with Ten Hag back at his Ajax days. Now, do you think that total football, that Ajax football that they had for about those two seasons, is what the final project was for Erik Ten Hag?
I would say, yeah. I mean, it's worked there at Ajax, and, you know, with the experience that they've gained after the Ajax days, it's fair for him to think that, you know, he can bring it into the big stage and make it work. I mean, we've seen coaches such as Mourinho, you know, he made his mark at Porto, if I'm not mistaken. He even won the Champions League, and then before, you know, going to big teams such as, you know, Barcelona, where he also dominated Chelsea and won, you know. And he played, you know, in his, you know, usual way, and it's worked. So I don't think we can really blame him for that. It could be, you know, maybe some... I can't really say it's what he did, you know, on the field. Could be mentality things, or
of the
you
players.
Know, yes,
of the
and how, yeah, and how he handled things in the dressing room, because that's also, you know, important. That could have been factors, you know, that made things not to work there at United. And, you know, if the players are not happy, or they not 100% with you, it's hard for them to deliver. I mean, at some point, if you remember, when Cristiano went back to United, he had
some
squabbles.
There was a personality clash.
Yes,
no, and of
with
course,
the, yeah.
Sancho as well.
Yes, with the coach, and he ended up leaving, and he laid out the dirty laundry there with Piers Morgan. So, you know, we can't shy away from such issues being the factor in Ten Hag not working out there at United.
All right, well, looking forward then. Ruud van Nistelrooy will be in charge come Sunday's clash at the Theatre of Dreams. Do you think he's going to make some sort of impact, or do you think it's going to be one-way traffic from Chelsea?
I think he's going to make some sort of impact. And the great part is the game is at home. You know, the fans will be there behind him. And also the morale will be high, having won, you know, on
the
Wednesday.
Clash,
yes,
with the
yes,
EFL,
the,
with Leicester. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll get everything right, especially in the dressing room. You know, the boys will be behind him. Yeah. But if they're behind him, I think they can pull out something, because even them, you know, I'm sure they're tired of not performing. They are tired of losing, of being the laughing stock, especially at home. So even
no club has scored fewer goals than Man United have at their home ground.
Imagine that. And the Chelsea is not an easy club, you know, to score against. It's not an easy club to beat. I mean, given their performances lately, we can even go as far as to saying Chelsea are favourites to win this one. But I'm sure Man United, if they go down, they will go down fighting.
All right. Well, that being said, give me your prediction in this fixture and maybe call it a score if there's going to be some goals.
I'm going to have to give it to Chelsea. I'm going to have to give it to Chelsea. In terms of scorers, Palmer.
Does sound like he's doing.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Then. Let's move over then to the rest of the Premier League fixtures this weekend. Let's kick things off with Newcastle versus Arsenal. Now, the Gunners need a victory here. Of course, they just drew 2-2 with Liverpool. And before that, they were defeated by Bournemouth.
Arsenal, it's a great team, you know. It has been a great team for the past, few seasons. They've been doing really great. It's just that, they just close, but they get so close, then it just doesn't happen. So, but I do see them winning this one. Not taking anything away from Newcastle, you know, they performed great, winning 2-0 to Chelsea, which they had recently played. And if I'm not sure, they lost that game, but they came back and played well and won. I think that win was important for them. And especially because this game is going to be at home. Newcastle is a problem when they're playing at home. I mean, they managed to hold Man City to a 2-2 draw. So, and this one, if Arsenal has to, you know, come out gun blazing and put everything there to try and get the win.
All right. Well, let's keep it on the away side then, Arsenal, because currently the rumors have been circulating about the lack of trophies at the Gunners since Arteta has been at the helm. I believe it's just a single one, and there's about 3, maybe 4 years stay with them. Is this the season he needs to deliver silverware?
Yeah, I'm sure he also understands that, you know, he's under pressure. He's been given the players that he wants. He's been performing well, you know. He's been qualifying. I think, if I'm not mistaken, for the past 2-3 seasons, Arsenal have been finishing in the top four. Yeah, let's put it like that. They've been finishing in the top four, and they've reached a number of finals. So I think it's about time that, you know, Arteta deliver at least the league.
At least the league, wow.
Yes,
okay, brave proclamations right there. Surely that starts with a win against Newcastle this weekend.
Yeah, that, and to beat Newcastle at home, you know, that would make a statement for the Gunners. Unfortunately, I think they're currently experiencing a number of players who are injured. So that puts them in a bit of a disadvantage. But Arteta is a mastermind. I'm sure he'll manage to come up with something.
All right. Your prediction?
It's a draw.
Okay. Let's move things over along to Anfield, where Liverpool will play host to Brighton. Now, the duo just squared off in the EFL Cup, Liverpool coming out on top of that 5-goal thriller.
I mean, Liverpool is on fire. They're trying, you know. I think they are a point away from log leaders, Manchester City. And they're working hard, you know, not to miss out, because it has happened a number of times that they,
when
you
they
know,
finish runners-up, yeah, to City by a handful of points.
Yeah, they fall. And, you know, it's important to, you know, collect points early to avoid pressure, you know, at a later stage. We've seen Arsenal, you know, losing the battle at a later stage because, you know, that pressure at a later stage, everybody doesn't want to drop point when, you know, the season is about to go to conclude, because it's either a person is fighting, it's either a club is fighting relegation or they're fighting to finish in the top spots, in the top half of the log, or they're fighting, you know, to qualify for continental football. So it becomes harder for everyone. So the best thing to do is to try and collect as much point as you can early, so that when it gets there, you know, you don't have really much of work, you know, to do.
On the other hand, Brighton have been a surprise package of the season. I mean, they've found the back of the net in 5, 6, 7 of their previous fixtures across all competitions.
Yeah, they've started really well, and they've been scoring, like, you know, scoring for fun. So this is going to be another good game for Brighton, and if they can win this one, yo, that would be big and good for them, you know, earlier on in the season. Hopefully we'll see them, you know, finishing in a good spot, you know, at least in the top five.
Okay, well, with that being said, which way can you see this one going?
I know that both teams will score. Liverpool. Knowing that City is probably going to win their game, they will want to make sure that they win this one. So I'm going to have to give it to Liverpool because, you know, they're working hard to try and close the gap between them and City.
All
so
right.
I think if they win this one and City doesn't, they go on top.
Okay, well, our next fixture sees us go all the way to Portman Road, where Ipswich Town will play host to Leicester. Now, last season, there was nothing to split these two in the Championship, both fixtures ending in a 1-1 stalemate.
It's good to see them back, you know, in top flight. And, yeah, they're a good team. I mean, you remember back in 2016, Leicester surprised us all, you know, by lifting, you know, the Premier League title. It doesn't look like it's going to happen again this season, but, you know, they've been working. And also, they're coming to this match wounded, you know, having lost in the EFL Cup. So I don't see Ipswich surviving here.
Well, they do have a striker in who has found his shooting boots, Liam Delap, with 5 goals in his Premier League campaign.
He's a good striker, you know, not taking that away from him, but this won't be an easy, you know, an easy match, but hopefully he'll manage, you know, to steal one for his club.
Well, in keeping with strikers, Jamie Vardy, I mean, where do we even start? Terrorizing
legend.
Premier League defenses.
Yeah. The man has made, you know, a mark for himself. I think he's going to retire anytime soon, but he's still firing. He did it in the Championship. He's doing it back in the Premier League. So, if you are a punter and you're placing a bet, maybe think about, you know, putting him as your anytime goal scorer because he's favored, you know, to get one for Leicester.
Okay. Are you going with a score draw here then?
I'm giving it to Leicester. I mean, they've just lost and they're aiming to recover.
All right. Next up, we have Bournemouth hosting Manchester City. Now, City are the only top-flight team yet to see league defeat. I can't see that changing over here.
No, there is really not much to say here, but...
business as usual for the citizens.
Yes, let's just keep it there.
Okay, what's your prediction here?
Oh, City over 2.5. Let's try and keep it, you know, respectable.
Okay, moving so swiftly along then. Southampton will welcome Everton to St. Mary's. Now, the Saints are currently rooted to the foot of the table, and it wasn't that long ago when Everton found themselves there. How times have changed. The Toffees are now undefeated across their previous 5 league outings.
It's been a tough start, you know, for Sean Dyche and his side, you know. It's good to see them, you know, recovering and running away from relegation. I mean, they are a club with such good history, and they've been in top flight, you know, for some time. I'd love to see them, you know, finishing at least at the top half of the table. So hopefully they will, you know, extend their unbeaten run, you know, and collect some point and move away from the relegation zone.
Yeah, you know, Sean Dyche has a history of actually keeping clubs in the Premier League, not just with Everton, but of course, I think across his several years with Burnley. Now, he would know how to win those winnable games. And that is, of course, those games that are in and around your kind of league position. Can you see Southampton getting something from this game, or is the 3 points going to Everton?
It's hard for me to see Southampton getting, you know, something out of this game. I mean, they haven't won, if I'm not mistaken, in their past 4 or 5 games. They haven't won a game. So, and as you've mentioned, you know, Sean knows how to, you know, win those games with the not so big team. So, and the experience that he has, the players that he has, I think he stands a better chance of winning.
Okay. Scoreline, please, sir.
Maybe 1-0 if it's on winning.
All right. Next up, we have Nottingham Forest welcoming West Ham United. Now, with back-to-back league wins, Forest are up to 7th place. I repeat, Forest are up to 7th place. Just 2 points off the Champions League spots.
Just to hype them. Not to hype them, it's facts. They are above Tottenham. And they are above Tottenham.
And they're above United as well.
I don't even want to mention United because they... anyway, this is another good one. You know, I've been a bit let down by West Ham this season. They are one of the teams that, you know, I like, who have been doing that well, have been producing some good players. You know, I thought Bowens was going to leave after his
insane good season with West Ham, where I think he went on to finish as their top scorer.
Yes, the past 2 seasons, let's say it like that. Mohamed Kudus has been doing great. Paqueta has been doing great. I thought they were all going to follow, you know, in the steps of Declan Rice and other players. But it is what it is. I mean, they've been experiencing a not-so-good start to this season. So, it's hard to back them. So, we can, you know, I see Forest winning this one again, you know, and climbing further to the table.
Yeah, of course, it was West Ham United who delivered the hammer blow to Manchester United last time out. The Hammers dispatching United at the London Stadium to send Erik ten Hag packing.
I was telling the boys that the Hammers are going to win that game, and they said no ways. One of my boys is actually a United fan, and he was shocked, you know, when Bowen scored that penalty that, you know, stole the 3 points from United. So they are full of surprises, and they do come up, you know, especially when they're playing the big teams. So, but hey, this one is gonna be hard because, you know, Nottingham Forest, they also know that they are motivated. You know, when you're in such a place and you're not used to it, you want to stay there. I don't think that they will want to drop point, especially in this game.
They've also got a striker that's been in the headlines for all the right reasons. Chris Wood has, I mean, roll back the years. I think at the tender age, he's over 30, but he's already scored 7 goals a season. Only Erling Haaland and Bryan Mbeumo have scored more from all top-flight players.
You know, that's also good for them. You know, when you've got a striker that's scoring, as a midfielder, you want to provide for him. As a defender, he wants to ensure that when he scores, you defend the lead. So it motivates the entire team. It becomes a problem when the team is good, but they are short of a striker that is capable of scoring goals. So it's good for him personally, but it's great for the team. You know, it motivates them. It assists them. You know, to want to, you know, protect their lead and win.
Okay. Well, are the 3 points staying with the home side this weekend?
It's hard to tell. I'm gonna, you know, this is a hard one. Maybe I'm gonna give it to Nottingham. I think they're doing much. They are a bit higher than West Ham.
All right. Well, the final fixture of Saturday sees Wolves up against Crystal Palace. Now, the home side have picked up just 2 points from their opening 10 league outings. Gary O'Neill is certainly a man under fire.
Yo, that's not good, you know, for the coach. He is a great coach. He was fa it was a, he had a fair season last season, so it's I don't know what went wrong for him this season, you know. But I don't like this thing of saying it's still early, you can still change things, because most of the teams, you know, that drop points early, they find it hard when the season is about to end, you know, to pick up. And it's better to, like, you know, show that you mean business earlier on. So I hope that the coach manages to turn things around. But this is going to be a tough game. Crystal Palace were one of those teams, you know, who played and are capable of turning things around. I don't think they've got a victory in their last four matches. So they're also in a terrible situation, you know, where they will want to,
Pick
you
up
know,
some valuable points,
yeah.
yeah.
I think they've played two draws or something, or won their last match. I'm not sure, but
They did
it's.
beat Tottenham 1-0 on home soil last time out in the Premier League. That came after three straight league defeats.
Yes. You see, so they will, and Tottenham is a good team. Let's not take that away from them. So they will also want to build from that, especially playing Wolves, that
Yeah.
they know that they are not doing well. They will want to take the advantage, you know, and collect more points.
Yeah. You know, just staying with Wolves, in their previous run out against Brighton, they found themselves 2-0 down and they hit back with through Ryan Itnuri in the 88th minute before Matias Cunha finished in added time to seal a point for Gary O'Neill.
You know, it shows that they are capable of turning, you know, the situation around. It's just, I don't wanna say luck. It's just has been unfortunate, you know, for them, to experience so many unfavorable results lately. But hopefully, they'll manage to come up with something positive on this one.
All right, well, can they get something from this tie?
With the match being played at home, I think they stand a better chance, you know, of dropping Palace, so I'm giving it to them.
Okay, moving along to Tottenham Hotspur versus Aston Villa. Now, two of, I want to say, work in progress teams. Of course, Villa are showing more fruits than Tottenham have at this current stage. Spurs coming to this one with two defeats across their previous three league outings.
I'm actually remembering something that Angel say, that the Tottenham coach, he said, usually wins things in his second season.
That's hilarious.
Yes, and see, and knowing that Tottenham is, has not been lucky, you know, with regards to winning trophies. But on this one, you know, Tottenham are very good, you know, they've got good players, you know, Son has been doing well, Maddison has been doing well. There's just Solanke, there's just a bit. So many players, you know, to mention. I don't know what's why things don't, you know, usually work for them. But hopefully, they're going to turn things around. But they're playing, you know, a not so easy side to beat. Aston Villa has been a good team. They've been playing well. I think they're in the Champions League, and
They've been
they,
winning in the Champions League as
yes,
well. Some
exactly.
very, very good performances from the Villains. 1-0 against Bayern Munich on at Villa Park. Of course, a 2-0 win over Bologna was thereafter.
Yeah, so I'm expecting, you know, a really nice game, a nice attacking game. Hopefully, you know, there'll be a lot of goals because both teams are capable, you know, of,
Finding the
you
back
know,
of the net
scoring, yeah.
and hitting the target.
Yes.
Okay, which way can you see this ongoing?
Let me give it to Tottenham.
All right, our final fixture of the weekend sees Fulham hosting Brentford. Now, it's just a point separating these two outfits. However, the Bees are struggling for form away from home. They're yet to register a point from their travels this season.
That's not good, you know, for Thomas Frank. I think it's something that he needs to look at. I mean, because teams in EPL are very quick, you know, to spot your weakness and then use it against you. So he needs to, you know, really come up with something and then avoid that. And also Fulham, you know, they are a great team. They've been doing well. Hopefully, they're going to win this one. I think they're coming from a draw. They haven't won, if I'm not mistaken, in their past two or three matches.
So it's a bit of form from both of these teams. But yeah, you know, of course, when it's a London derby, anything can happen. 3 points on the line. Is there going to be a victor?
There has to be. But it's going to be a highly contested game. So hopefully, you know, both teams are going to come out, you know, with that fighting spirit. You know, it sucks when a team drops, especially from their previous performance. But I'm going to give this one, you know, to Fulham.
All right. Well, Sipho Sihle, Chelsea, Sony, it's been a pleasure unpacking all things Premier League related with you. We're going to have to wait and see how your predictions plan out. Before then, take care and cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.